Let's go ahead and look at 3 John. Did I say John 3? It's 3 John. 3 John. Let's go ahead and open in a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for what you're doing in our midst. Thank you for the power of the gospel. Thank you for the guidance and the direction that you have led. And thank you for the privileges to be able to fellowship around your word. I do pray that you would encourage us, but even maybe challenge us tonight as we look at these truths from 3 John. Thank you for Cornerstone. And Lord, as I even considered these truths this week, I believe that Cornerstone is doing a great job in these areas. And I just pray that you would continue to bless Cornerstone, continue to use Cornerstone. I do pray that that Cornerstone would be a mighty force for you. And I do pray that that the power of God would be seen in a mighty way in this community and in the surrounding communities. Thank you for being our God. We know that we can't do anything without you. Lord, we need your help. I do pray that Cornerstone would be a praying church. Help me to be a praying man. And I do pray that we would each really see the importance of prayer. And may we be fellow helpers in your work. And may we see the gospel advance in this area. Thank you for being our God. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, 3 John chapter 1. There's only one chapter. As we've been considering the role of the sending church, I'd like for us to look at the life of Gaius in 3 John and really apply what he was doing to how we can support the church plant and even supporting other missionaries. And folks, I'm going to tell you right off the bat, as I was studying this last week, my heart was just so encouraged how Cornerstone is already being a Gaius. Okay, Gaius was doing a great work for the Lord, and Cornerstone does this. And so, please don't think that I'm necessarily preaching at you. This is probably more for me than it is for you. Okay, but if you benefit from that, praise God. There's several truths about Gaius that are highlighted here that we see that made him an effective helper in the truth. And let's go ahead and read our passage together, beginning in verse 1 all the way down to verse 8. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which has borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I want us to look at 3 truths that we see about Gaius and how he was an effective helper in the mission work. First of all, we see in verses 3 and 4 that in order for him to be effective, he had to know and live out the truth. So we see that Gaius knew and lived out the truth. You see John saying, "For I rejoice greatly," in verse 3, when the brethren came and testified of the truth. Where was the truth? In thee. Even as thou walkest in the truth. And then John goes on to say he has no greater joy than to hear that his children walk in truth. And so we see that in verse 2, that his inner life was prospering. Look at verse 2 at the very end. Even as thy soul prospereth. So his inner life was prospering. The brethren, those that he was ministering to, they were testifying that God's truth was not just known. It wasn't just in here. It was in him. So he was walking and living out the truth. And so we could say that his inner walk with God wasn't a secret. His inner walk with God wasn't a secret. His inner walk with God was seen in how he lived for God. He lived out the truth. And Cornerstone, if you're going to be an effective fellow helper in the truth, then each of us at this church need to cultivate that inner walk with God. We need to know the truth and live out the truth. And maybe you say, okay, well, Pastor Jake, how do I do that? I want you to turn to Colossians chapter 1 with me. Colossians chapter 1. You know these verses, but I want to remind you of them. Colossians chapter 1. In verse 10, Paul says that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in what? In the knowledge of God. Okay, so how do I increase in the knowledge of God and have lasting change in my inner man? I want you to look at that word knowledge in verse 10. That word knowledge is more than just an academic sort of knowledge. Okay, like you may know me. You may know things about me, but you don't really know me. You see what I'm saying? So this word knowledge here, it's not simply an academic knowledge. It's an academic knowledge that I acknowledge and recognize as truth. Okay, so the truths of God's word, I may know them here, but I may not know them here. And so this word here is, I need to increase in the knowledge, meaning I know it up here and here. And I know it and I acknowledge it as truth. Turn over maybe a page or two to Colossians 3. So how do I increase in this knowledge? How do I apply? How do I go from knowing to living out the truth? Look at Colossians 3:10. And have put on the new man. Pastor's been talking about that put off, put on principle. And we see this in verse 10 here. And have put on the new man, which is renewed. How is my mind renewed? Well, it's renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So where does that renewing come from? It comes through the knowledge, the knowing, but yet acknowledging it as truth. It's the word of God. I know it and I'm making it mine. I'm not just saying it and believing it because my parents said it. I know those truths academically, but I know them as mine. And they're mine. And I acknowledge that these truths are for me. And many of you grew up in Sunday school. And you memorized John 3:16. And you had it memorized. But praise the Lord, you came to a point and you realized, okay, God loves me. He died on the cross for me. Okay, that's the difference between just knowing it and knowing it for me. And so, folks, if we are going to be effective as fellow helpers in the gospel, then we need to be men and women who know God's word. We acknowledge God's word, and we know it factually, and we know it in our heart. It's ours, and our mind is renewed by the truths of His word. And so men and women who are fellow helpers and effective know the Word of God, not just as facts, not just as words. The Westerly area is filled with people who know facts about the truths of God, but they don't know God. They're lost. And they have an opinion about God's Word. But folks, we need to know the God of God's Word. Okay? Not just know the facts about God's word. And so our inner souls aren't, your inner soul isn't renewed by just knowing opinions about God's word. Your soul, your inner soul isn't changed by traditions that we may have in religiosity. And our minds are changed as we gaze into the truths of God's word. And we let the Word of God change us. And as we know God's Word and as we live it out, our minds and our lives are changed. And so if we're going to become effective helpers, We need to follow God's word. We need to know it and then live it out. And so how is your walk with God? Is your walk with God a secret? Do you have an academic knowledge of God? And maybe you lack that renewed knowledge of God. Folks, you know that can change. You can know a lot about God's word, but as you gaze into the truths of God's word, and as you spend time with God, and as you come before Him and say, God, I want my mind to be renewed, He's going to do that for you. And we need to be men and women who know God's word, but also live out the truths of God's word. So we see in Gaius, his life, he knew God, and his life evidenced a close walk with God. You see in this passage that they were testifying in verse 3, when the brethren came, they testified of the truth that was in him. It was evident. It wasn't a secret in his life. He knew the truth and he lived it out. And so if we are going to be effective in being fellow helpers to the truth, we ourselves need to know it and live it out. Okay? So Gaius knew and lived out the truth. Secondly, we see that he was faithful in every effort to support the brethren and even to those who were strangers. Look at verse 5. 3 John, verse 5. Beloved, thou doest faithfully, and I love this phrase, whatsoever thou doest. Okay? Thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. Okay? Kind of sums it, just kind of general. Okay? Whatever he did it how? How did he do it? He did it faithfully. And so, folks, that's so key. If we're going to be fellow helpers, there needs to be faithfulness in our lives. The word faithful here just means worthy to be trusted. Gaius was worthy to be trusted. He wasn't faithful in just a few things. We see that he was faithful in whatever he did. And maybe it was taking out the trash. Maybe he was hosting somebody. Maybe it was, you know, working on somebody's car with them. I don't know. Whatever he did it faithfully. And I think it's interesting. Look at the end of verse 5. He was faithful to those that he knew, but also to strangers. Okay, people who were not necessarily close to him. Maybe he didn't necessarily know them, but he was faithful even to them. Okay, people that weren't necessarily in his circles. Okay, he supported them and ministered to them. I want to take you to another passage to kind of see what Gaius was possibly doing. And if you just keep your hand in 3 John and turn over to Romans 16 real quick. So we see what possibly Gaius was doing here. Now, we don't know if this was the same Gaius, but it's very possible that it was, that was ministering to Paul. We don't know. But notice in verse 23, Gaius is referred to as mine host. Okay, Gaius, mine host, and of the whole church, saluted through. So it's interesting when you look back at our 3 John verse 5, that word strangers, and then that word host in Romans 16:23, that actually comes from the same original word. And the idea is that Gaius was faithful in being hospitable. He was a host. He was ministering to those who came through. And I think it's interesting when you look back at our 3 John passage that he wasn't choosy in who he was hospitable to. He wasn't concerned about if he knew them. He wasn't concerned about if they were people who were maybe sent from John or sent from other disciples. He just wanted to minister to them, and he was faithful in doing that. We could say that he was faithful in supporting the mission's work by being hospitable in any way that he could. Folks, when you open your home to a missionary, or you're faithful at being hospitable right here in this church, you're supporting the gospel work. And you may say, oh, I'm just going to house those missionaries at my house. Folks, you are being faithful in supporting the work of the gospel. Sometimes we have missionaries come through that we know, and sometimes, a lot of times, we have missionaries that maybe you have never met before. And you support the gospel ministry by welcoming them and caring for their needs and supporting them in whatever way that you can. And folks, I believe that's what Gaius was doing. He was supporting the work as these missionary workers were going out and going into further out from those places. He was supporting them on their way and ministering to them. Folks, you know what the opposite is of Gaius here? You know what the opposite of being hospitable? It's a hypercritical attitude. Things like this. You know, I thought their presentation was boring. And folks, we've heard this before. Hopefully never from you. But we've heard when, a missionary come in and we'll hear little comments, that was kind of boring. I didn't necessarily like his preaching. I didn't like the picture on their prayer card, and I don't want to help or support because it doesn't really fit my mold. Folks, we should never have that kind of attitude. Do you see how that's the exact opposite of Gaius here? Effective support for missionaries is when we faithfully support that missionary wherever and however we can. And folks, if we're going to be an effective sending church to the church plant, there just needs to be faithful support in whatever way you can. And there's plenty of books out there about church planting. And I was encouraged early on. There's no effective church planting manual outside the truths of God's word. And so what may have worked in Texas, it doesn't necessarily work here. But what does work is when we're fellow helpers and we do whatever we can to support the gospel work. And so I want to share just a few ways of effective support. Effective support can actually come through just being friendly and welcoming to a missionary, or being friendly and welcoming right here. Secondly, even faithfully caring for them as people, having the attitude of, how can I help this worker of the gospel? Do you know that when missionaries come through here, that a lot of their lives are totally uprooted for months? And we have, thank the Lord that Cornerstone is not this way, but I have heard stories about how missionaries go in and their children are treated, like they're mongrels. And, think of that poor child who has to sit in the car for 20 hours to go somewhere. And then, they finally are able to get up and they run around and, people are looking at them and, folks, we need to be hospitable and just be faithful and caring for these people. And instead of making them feel out of place, just welcome them and encourage them and maybe say, how can we help? How can we help you to further your journey and to really care for your need? And folks, as I was considering Cornerstone in this area, I'm just so thankful for how Cornerstone is hospitable. And I'm thankful for those in our ministry who are deliberate to go around and not necessarily ask nosy questions, but to ask caring questions. Folks, that's so important. To just be faithful and caring for one another, however you can. That's what Gaius was doing. Whatever thou doest faithfully. And that's what we need. The ministry is people. And so, Cornerstone, thank you for being so hospitable. And I just know that the way you have been faithful will continue. And if we're going to be an effective church in helping a church plant, we have to be faithful in caring for people. I've had a several opportunities to preach at different churches the last several years. And I have preached at churches where my family and I felt incredibly awkward, okay? Incredibly unwanted. There was a church that I preached at, and I love the people, and there's always somebody like this, okay? So I'm not trying to pick on this church at all. You don't know who it is. But I had to go up and preach, and my kids sat down, and this person came up to my kids and stood there, and were like, "You're in my seat." Okay. Yeah. And just, you know, made them feel very unwelcome. Folks, don't ever be like that. These aren't your seats. How are we going to minister to people if the first thing you tell somebody is you're sitting in my seat? Okay. And, you know, praise God that I don't even think you had to move. But. You know, I praise God for my children who have been in ministry long enough to, you know, they have thick skin. But folks, we should never be like that. Never be like that. Make every effort to just be faithful in being kind, faithful in being hospitable to those that are around us. Third thing that we can be faithful in is just looking for ways to help. How can we help? But then how can I help? Look for ways to help. Okay, a missionary comes through. You know, we're going out as church planters. We're going to be on the road, Lord willing, for several months, raising support. Be faithful and be faithfully aware of ways that you can help. Don't have that attitude like some do. Well, I'm just going to wait for the pastor. You know, if the pastor doesn't send an email, I'm not even going to think of the need. Okay? Don't be that kind of person. And Cornerstone, thank you for not being that kind of church. Okay? There are so many of you who, behind the scenes, you care for one another in just such a special way. So just be faithful in saying, you know what, how can I help? Not how can we help, how can I help? Okay? And just be faithful in doing that. And then fourthly, just be faithful in being hospitable and selfless. Okay, what would be support to them? Okay, not what I think support is. Okay, I think we need to kind of rethink how we need to support people. Okay, what is actually helpful to our missionary? Okay, you know, giving them a 1970 Dodge Dart to go on deputation with, is that really helpful? Okay, so we need to be faithful and being hospitable and really selfless. What would actually be support to them? And what would help them? Not what is the most comfortable for me. Okay? Folks, effective support is faithful support. And Gaius was that way. John was commending him for his faithful support. Thirdly, I want us to see that, and finally, the last characteristic of Gaius that John commends is in verses 6 and 7. He evidenced a practical and a supportive love for those in ministry. Look at verse 6 of 3 John. Which have borne witness of thy charity. So those people that he ministered to, they had borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. And so what we see here is that the brethren that he was ministering to were testifying of his kindness, and his kindness was evident. Folks, it's so important, as if we're going to be effective helpers to each other, we have to have a loving attitude, and we have to really have a genuine, practical, supportive sort of love for the people that we minister to. Notice in verse 6, he uses the word charity, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church. That word charity, it's the word agape, that agape love, that sacrificial, that benefit, the benevolent, selfless, Christ-like love. It's the word for charity. It's the word for love that we see in 1 Corinthians 13 and Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit. Okay. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his, that's the agape love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Okay? It's that sacrificial, that selfless sort of love. And that's what John is commending Gaius here, that they were bearing witness. They bore witness of his charity, his love. And so we helped these mission workers on in their journey out of love. And notice, folks, that it wasn't just a love like we often think of it as, like in word and tongue, okay, that the Bible talks about. It was the deed and truth kind of love. So he wasn't just saying that he loved them. It was very practical. It was selfless. It was sacrificial sort of love. It was practical and supportive. And he supported them on their way. Look at verse 7. Because that for his name's sake they went forth. In the middle of verse 6, if thou bring forward on their journey. So his practical support, his love for these people, brought them further on their way. Folks, I want to share a testimony here of our journey so far. Most people have been super supportive of church planting in Westerly, in word and tongue. People are very supportive, okay? We went to a conference in January, and I'm so thankful for these guys and love these guys. And there were several people who came out, oh, we're all behind you. This is wonderful. And even you have been very supportive. And folks, please don't get me wrong. It's important to be thankful and supportive in tongue. That's important. But there's something different here at Cornerstone. Cornerstone has made a difference in our church planting journey. Okay? We've been able to move forward with church planting through Cornerstone's church planting support. We have funds that were proactively set up for church planting, and several individuals and many of you have been supportive and given, and this fund that this church has represents sacrifice. It represents charity. It represents selfless love for God's work. And folks, praise God for the way He's working in Cornerstone. And many of you have given, Cornerstone has given very sacrificially so that the gospel can go forth in a different area other than right here. I remember several months ago we were talking and said, you know, really, I don't know how we're even going to be able to raise support. So how can you even raise support if you don't have any funds to go out and raise support, okay? You have to have money to make money, right? And you know, how would we be able to go out and raise support without prayer cards? How can we go out without, you know, in our day and age, a website? You know, that's so important. Newsletters, printed material, the video presentation, and on and on and on. Folks, we didn't seek help from the world. Like John was commending Gaius. They didn't take anything from the Gentiles. And they weren't seeking the Gentiles' help. God provided through our sending church. God provided through individuals who saw the need and practically supported God's work. And that's what Gaius did. And John commends him and says, thou doest well. And so Cornerstone, thank you for moving us forward in the ways that you have. We understand it's God's work. He's the one who builds this church. But God uses churches. God uses individuals. And I love what Marsh Fant says. Churches build churches. Missions boards don't build churches. Okay? It's the local church. And Cornerstone has moved us forward. Just like John was commending Gaiatir. He moved many forward in their work. And so praise God for what Cornerstone has done. And really, folks, it's a privilege to be co-laborers with you in the gospel work. And as you faithfully love and support God's work, you're doing well. John says you're doing well. So how am I an effective helper? Well, just faithfully, practically love by supporting that missionary or that ministry. Notice in conclusion, verse 8, John affirms that we're obligated to do what Gaius was doing. Notice what he says, so that we can be fellow helpers. Verse 8, we therefore ought to receive such. Just like Gaius received those missionaries, we ought to receive such that we may be what? Fellow helpers in the truth. And so John's affirming the way Gaius is supporting gospel workers. He says we ought. We therefore ought to receive such. And what he's saying, folks, is that we ought and we're privileged to be fellow helpers in God's work. You know, I was thinking, you know, as the Lord allows us to plant Hope Bible Church, some of you will never be the pastor there. Right? Okay. None of you will probably be deacons there. Many of you will not be members there. But you and Cornerstone are fellow helpers. And you have played a part, a great part in it already. And you've already helped us on our way. And you've already supported us. And folks, that's what Ascending Church does. And it's a privilege to be able to share some of these messages with you on being Ascending Church. And you have already been a wonderful Ascending Church. And it's a privilege to partner with you in the gospel work. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this example from the life of Gaius, how he was just so faithful in supporting your work, and how he knew the truth, he lived it out, and how he just showed that sacrificial kind of love by supporting your work. Lord, thank you for Cornerstone. Thank you for the work here. I do pray that you would help us in this ministry of bringing the gospel to these different areas. Help us to really be co-laborers and fellow laborers together. Lord, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for already bringing us forward on our way. We couldn't do it without you. We just want to do your work. And I do pray that Cornerstone would be strong and that Cornerstone would be faithful. Lord, thank you for what you're doing. And we ask this all in Christ's name. Amen.